Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. Elon Musk, a man prone to ludicrous deadlines, has birthed yet another. Test flights of his Mars spaceship next year. A drone owner has been charged with starting a fire that destroyed 300 acres of grassland in Arizona's Coconino National Forest. A new study shows that less than half of ransomware targets who pay actually get their files back. And ransomware for robots is the next big security nightmare. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Whether you shop on ThinkGeek, GearBest, B&H Photo Video, eBay, or Amazon, or even if you want a free trial of Audible, you'll find the best deals and support the shows we produce by simply visiting the shopping sites you already frequent by using the links on our website. Visit category5.tv/partners for the full and ever-growing list and help us create more free content like this show. Thank you for shopping with our partners, and thank you for watching.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Jeff Weston, and here are the top stories we're following this week. Elon Musk, a man prone to ludicrous deadlines, has birthed yet another idea. Test flights of his Mars spaceship next year. He told an audience at the South by Southwest Festival in Austin, Texas, "I think we'll be able to do short flights up and down sometime in the first half of next year." He put a dark spin on it, though, saying that it's vital that humans reach the red planet before the next world war, and saying that a Mars colony would reduce the chance of an extended new dark age if a nuclear conflict were to wipe out life on Earth. But we'd rather keep things optimistic, so enough about that. After a string of failed rockets and near bankruptcy, SpaceX wowed the world with its Falcon Heavy flight in February. A highlights reel of the event, soundtrack to David Bowie's Life on Mars, was shown to attendees at the festival. The ultimate goal of the mission, of course, is a Mars colony. At the event, Musk painted a picture of what he felt such a society would need to look like in order to be a success. He said he was excited about the potential for launching new industries from a completely fresh starting point. Mars will need pizza joints, and one day people will need a Mars bar, he said, congratulating himself on the dad joke. Regardless of our individual opinions of Elon Musk, the prevailing mood here is that he is a visionary of the highest order, and if he doesn't try to get us to Mars, who will? I like this idea.
Of going to Mars?
I do. It's something that we've never done. I mean, we've talked about
colonizing. Yeah, how many things can you say that about?
I know. I mean, we've reached a time in our society, in our global everything, where I feel like we've done everything.
Yeah.
You know, we're reinventing the wheel on some things, but it's...
But have we got LTE internet on the moon?
No, that's next year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Apparently test flights for
that is
Mars.
Next year. But I mean, the question for this one becomes... Is it going to take the 6 months to get there? Is Elon going to have some faster process for getting to Mars?
Yeah.
You know?
I know he's been working tirelessly at building new forms of propulsion and things like this. So where that's going to take us, I guess next year we'll know when he starts the test flights. I guess that's when we're going to really know what they've accomplished so far.
Right. And I mean, with the payload size that the that his Falcon Heavy X, I think that was what it was called, has, it won't be enough to set up a full colony. So you're going to have to probably send multiple, you know, flights, I would think.
Yeah. Plus, well, SpaceX has reduced the cost of space travel.
Absolutely. So
and
I mean,
that's their goal.
Are they going to send
exploration
multiple flights at the same time? And hey, here's our people pod, and here's all of our.
Right.
I mean, who knows? You know, what happens if one of those ships doesn't make it?
Exactly. They'd have to have fail safes in place that, you know, each ship would have a certain number of people, a certain number of supplies, so that if one didn't make it, that people who did make it aren't without water, for example. Or
as long as you've got Matt Damon to poop on his potatoes, you're all right.
Is that real life?
Well, that's what happened in the movie.
Okay. I haven't seen it.
But scientists have said that that is probably the most realistic way of actually getting potatoes to grow on Mars.
Wow.
Yep.
Interesting, Jeff.
I know.
He just kind of threw that in there, folks. So if you were wondering, pooping on potatoes is the way to go on Mars.
That's right.
Wonderful.
Okay. A drone owner has been charged with starting a fire that destroyed 300 acres of grassland in a national forest in Arizona. A drone reportedly caught on fire after it crashed, igniting dry grasses in an area called Kendrick Park near Flagstaff. About 30 firefighters were able to bring the blaze under control within a day. Now, if found guilty, the drone's owner could face a fine, community service, or even a jail sentence. While tackling the incident last week, firefighters preemptively set light to the grassland surrounding a local landmark, the Chapel of the Holy Dove, to ensure that the small church was not threatened by the flames. Warnings were issued to drivers in the area as dense smoke from the fire made driving conditions difficult on roads through the Kendrick Park region. Now, while it is legal to fly a drone in the U.S. National Forest, there are strict regulations governing when and where they can be flown. Drones must not be flown in wilderness areas, nor over areas where wildfires are active. In 2017, helicopters helping to tackle fire in the very same forest were hampered by a drone taking pictures of the blaze. Now, the pilot of that unmanned craft was not identified, and firefighting planes and helicopters helping to tackle seasonal fires in other regions have also been temporarily grounded for fear of a collision with a drone. It's unfortunate that recreational drone use has come to this level where people are not aware that they're actually hampering, you know, emergency situations.
Oh yeah.
Like, be smart if you're gonna fly a drone. If there, I mean, I get sure it's great, cool footage to film a forest fire, but if you're preventing people from being able to put out that fire, that's not cool.
Or if you're creating the fire.
Well, that too. Now, I mean, in the case of this drone flyer, it's not like he intended to crash and make it burn.
Sure.
So should we be setting up like a drone insurance industry?
Well, I think that so if we back up and think about, and I don't know the whole, you know, the details about who this flyer was, but first of all, his drone caught on fire. So that tells me it's probably gas propelled.
Right.
I would expect. It's not a battery powered drone.
No.
And if that's the case, then this is a commercial flyer. Like, this is not somebody that's just a hobbyist like me with his electric drones that, you know, I'm flying around over the trees and safely bringing them down. And if they crash, they get stuck in the branches and I cry because I just lost $600 in drone hardware.
Right.
That's how it goes for me. But so he must have, he must be a consumer flyer, a commercial flyer, or be serious enough about it that he's using it for commercial purposes. I would expect, like, unless you're just filthy stinking rich and you own a really big expensive gas powered drone.
Not anymore.
But there are regulations and there are laws that say that if you are flying commercially, there are rules, and yes, you have to be insured.
Okay.
So if he was flying, if he was flying without insurance, that's an if, because I don't know, then, you know, who is liable for that? Who pays for that? Who pays for the damage?
Yeah.
That's the question.
It'll be very interesting to see how that one plays out in court.
I'd like to know more about who he is, why. Obviously, they found him.
Yes.
So he fessed up, because, you know, the other person who was flying a drone and hampering emergency services, they never found them.
Right.
Because a drone can be kilometers away. And again, these are not your average consumer drones. These are big, heavy drones that can be flown from kilometers away using 3D goggles and virtual reality.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. It'll be interesting to see how that one shapes out. All right. In a shocking revelation, criminals proved to be untrustworthy. A new study shows that less than half of ransomware targets who pay up actually get their files back. Paying off ransomware demand is a great way to end up losing both your money and your files. This according to a study from security company CyberEdge, which found that those hit by ransomware infection, the best bet is probably to just restore from a backup. The survey, based on a poll of information security professionals, found that less than half of those who pay a ransom end up getting their data back. The report says that 55% of people who it surveyed reported a malware infection hitting their systems in 2017. Spain had the highest rate, with 80% of respondents reporting malware, followed by companies in China at 74% and Mexico at 71.9%. In the U.S., 53.8% of respondents were hit by ransomware, while slightly under half of those in the U.K., 49.5%, were hit. Overall, 72.4% of those who were infected with ransomware were able to get their data back. Most of those, however, were companies that simply ignored the ransom demands and restored their systems with uninfected backup copies. The study found that 86.9% of those who refused to pay the demand ended up recovering their data. Of those who caved to the demand and paid the ransom, 49.4% said they did recover their data, while 50.6% ended up losing it anyway. The not-so-shocking conclusion is that criminals don't always stay true to their word.
Good to hear that so many folks have reliable disconnected backups. Because
yes.
This is one of the fears with, and the dangers with ransomware, is that it doesn't just encrypt the files on your server and your computers, it encrypts the files on your backup.
That's right. So what happens if you don't have a backup and you don't pay the ransom? Is there a third option?
Or you don't have a backup, you pay the ransom as a last-ditch effort, and they don't come through?
Yeah. Is there another way to get this data back?
That is a really, my answer to that would be very iffy.
Okay.
But you might be surprised to know that my answer would be maybe.
Okay.
Perhaps there's another option. Because what happens with these types of things, ransomware and things, there are often master keys. Mm-hmm. These are keys that the hackers create in order to be able to recover the files. And once those master keys are deciphered by security engineers, tools are released that help people to recover their files using the master key.
Okay.
So ESET is one of those companies that has worked really hard to release tools to decrypt files. There are actually a number of security research companies, security anti-malware companies that have worked together to create repositories of their tools that people who are infected with particular types of ransomware infections can recover their files.
Right.
So again, it's not a guaranteed you're going to get your data back if you run this free program. It doesn't work that way. But to know that there are people and companies out there that are working hard to combat this issue is a really encouraging thing. And I'll actually show you the website. It's, I believe it was nomoreransom.org. Ransom.org. I must have mistyped it, but it redirected anyways. So here we are, nomoreransom.org. And you see that there are a ton of folks that are involved in this. You've got, the main associate partners, Bitdefender, Trend Micro is a big contributor, Avast. We've got law enforcement agencies that work with them, other partners, which is where we find ESET, for example, who have contributed some code, and they also distribute their own tools. So here's what we do. So decryption tools. Now, there's other great information here, so check it out. But go into decryption tools, and you can find all these different ransomware decryptors, right? So these are all ransomware viruses or malware. So if I'm, for example, infected with the Crisis ransomware, there are two tools, one of them from Kaspersky Lab and one of them from Trend Micro. Mm-hmm. And these two tools are designed specifically to decrypt the files that are encrypted using that particular malware. So if you're fortunate, there may be a way to recover those files, even if you don't have a backup, and even if you don't have, if you haven't been able to recover them by paying the ransom. But that is not a fail-safe. That is not a reason to not protect yourself. That is a last-ditch effort of security engineers to help you. the fact is you need to have a good backup. You have to have a backup that is disconnected from anything that this kind of infection can touch. So air gapped, unplugged, taken home, rotated every week, and never touching the network while ransomware is a thing.
Yes. Okay. Researchers have found that they were able to infect robots with ransomware. In the real world, such attacks would be highly damaging to businesses if robotic security isn't addressed. Ransomware has long been a headache for PC and smartphone users, but in the future, it could be robots that stop working unless a ransom is paid. Researchers at the security company IO Active have shown how they managed to hack the humanoid NAO robot by SoftBank and infected one with custom-built ransomware. The researchers said the same attack would work on the Pepper robot as well. After the infection, the robot is shown insulting its audience and demanding to be fed Bitcoin cryptocurrency in order to restore systems back to normal. Now, while a tiny robot making threats might initially sound amusing, if a little bit creepy, the proof of concept attack demonstrates the risks associated with lack of security in robots and how organizations that employ robots could suddenly see parts of their business grind to a halt should they become a victim of ransomware. Cesar Cerrotto, CTO at IO Inactive Labs, said in order to get business ownership to pay a ransom to a hacker, you could make robots stop working. And because the robots are directly tied to production and services, when they stop working, they'll cause a financial problem for the owner, losing money every second that they're not working. Now, taking what was learned in previous studies into security vulnerabilities of robots, researchers were able to inject the right code in Pepper and NAO robots to take complete control of the systems, giving them the option to shut the robot down or modify its actions. The researchers said it was possible for an attacker with access to the Wi-Fi network the robot is running on to infect malicious code into the machine. Unlike computers, robots don't yet store vast amounts of vulnerable information that the user might be willing to pay a ransom to retrieve. But as companies often don't use backups to restore systems from, if a robot becomes infected with ransomware, it's also impossible for the user to restore it to normal by themselves. So if we have the ability to have our robots hacked.
You knew it was coming, guys. You knew it was coming.
Would it be done in the same way that they could be hacking autonomous cars? Like, you know, I'm thinking
like Wi-Fi exploits and...
Yeah. You know, and I'm obviously,
surely,
you know, going to the Hollywood side of things, I'm thinking of the movie iRobot.
Mm-hmm.
Where you've got one mainframe that's running all the computers. If somebody found a way to hack,
right?
You know, like I think it was Pepper is running in a hospital. Mm-hmm. Was it Pep?
Yeah,
yeah. You know, could somebody hack that to hurt people potentially?
Yeah, I guess they could, right? Yeah. I mean, theoretically they could, but you know, they're kind of, the story says that, you know, your data is not a problem, but any device on your network is an entry point for attack.
Right.
So if a robot were an entry point for an attack, and now that robot is infected, that robot's on the same Wi-Fi as your server.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden the robot can use the code to go out into the server and start encrypting files there.
Right. I mean, I'm thinking of production companies, you know, so many auto industries.
Yeah,
they use robotics. And I mean, if somebody hacked in there and say shut down an entire facility.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, imagine the productivity and the financial impact of shutting down an automaker for one day even.
Or you could take it one dark step further and look at military.
Right.
Right. Because military is working toward using robots more and more to carry heavy artillery and mm-hmm. carry just essentials and things like that. So, you know, what would happen if their network of robots were debilitated by ransomware during a war or something?
So like, what you're saying is that to bring this news to full loop, we go back to Elon Musk and we should just set up a Mars colony.
It might be the next step. It may be necessary. I don't know. What are your thoughts, folks? I mean, what risks are there? And is there something that needs to be done? I think the answer is clearly yes. If these robots can be exploited in this way,
mm-hmm.
I can't imagine that more security has not... Like, I'm a little blown away right now that Pepper is vulnerable to ransomware. How is this possible? Does she run Windows?
Well, you know, it is a great point, because, I mean, we use robotics to assist us on a daily basis. And if you don't think about these things, it does become a problem. And, you know, with Pepper being in a hospital, there is the potential for storing data of, you know, mm-hmm. somebody walks in.
Or stealing data.
Well, exactly, mm-hmm. yeah. And so, you know, somebody walks in, they talk to the robot, say, here are my symptoms, and Pepper does a quick triage and send you over here or send you over there, mm-hmm. you know, if that's what it turns into. But all of that information is stored somewhere, and then because it would have to then go to patient files, you do have a storage issue.
And a connection.
That's
there's
right.
a connection, obviously, to the central database.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of potential problems that come with this. And yeah. I would hope that developers of these robots are thinking about security-minded, you know, protections rather than just, hey, look at these cool things we can do.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking of that about 2 weeks ago, I think there was a YouTube video of a robotic dog that opens doors.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, which is cool, but what if that dog got hacked and it was used to pick locks and open doors? Now suddenly you've got a robot for home entry.
Oh, no, you would just build a big, strong robot that just bashes doors down.
Okay, so RoboCop.
Exactly. That's what it's coming to, folks. I think my concern is that more care hasn't been spent on the security thing, and we saw the same thing with automobiles.
Yes.
With hackable systems. How can we be bringing out technologies without understanding the underlying security? How can that not be our priority to make sure that, hey, if I'm bringing out robots that are Wi-Fi connected, or we've heard about Bluetooth children's toys that can be hacked and compromised
yeah.
from, you know, the house next door. And you know, these are concerns. Children's, like baby monitors.
Yes.
Being hacked because... When we built this device, we thought only about the video quality and the stream and did not put any work into the security. How mm-hmm. is that possible? There needs to be some kind of, I hate to say regulations. No, I don't want to say that. But who, there needs to be accountability.
Absolutely.
I think is what it boils down to.
Hmm. A lot of things to think about.
Comment below. Let us know what you think.
That's right. Big thanks to Roy W. Nash, the Albuquerque Turkey, and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Jeff Weston.